I call upon my good friend and brother, the Reverend Ivan Foster, to tell you something about our protest at St. Paul's.
When we arrived at St. Paul's around about 6:30, there was a great furore going on. Plenty of crash barriers and television cameras and television lights and policemen and police wagons. There were plenty of people going into the cathedral as well. And I decided that the most effectual protest that I could make would be to go into the cathedral and wait until God give me an opportunity and then take that opportunity with both hands and say what I could for the Lord Jesus. And so we went in, and there was quite a large congregation. And we looked around for a suitable seat, and we found one. Now, St. Paul's has a center aisle, and the people were sitting on either side of the center aisle, but there are little aisles that run across so that the great congregation has many divisions in it. Well, I got one of the front seats in one of these divisions, and I sat down. And this was about 7:00, about half an hour before the service was scheduled to start. We sat down and we looked around us, very nervous, for you realized you were among a pile of apists and papists and anybody but your friends. I couldn't see any of our brethren from Ulster, and I didn't know any of the men from England who were going to be there. I didn't even know that there would be any at all. Couldn't see anybody, and as far as I knew, I might be on my own. So I sat down, and there's this young fellow. He came along and took the seat beside me, and he lifted a prayer mat, and he got down, and he started to cross himself and pray. And he remained in the attitude of prayer for about 30 seconds, and then he stretched his nose and opened his eyes and looked all around him for about another 2 minutes. And the prayer session being over, he got up, and he sat down beside me. An intellectual-looking chappie. And he started to talk about the glories of the architecture. He says, "I've never been in here at night, you know." And I felt like saying, day or night, it's always the same in here, dark. So he started to say, "Isn't it beautiful?" And there were all the crucifixes and all the scenes of Christ on the cross and all the trappings of Rome. Now, I realized that if I opened my mouth, the brogue would come out that thick that he'd know right away where I was from, and he would smell a rat. And so I decided, no, I can't say too much. I better say nothing at all. And so he chatted on, and he kept looking to me for an answer, and all I could say, I don't think you have an accent when you go, So he didn't catch on anyway. And after about 10 minutes of grunting, I thought I better say something. And I said to him, "I see there's a little bit of opposition outside." And he said, "Oh, you mean Paisley? Oh, don't worry about him. Nothing to worry about there." I felt like saying, "Just you wait for 10 more minutes, then." Well, there was a bit of a commotion at the front, and everybody stood up, and, well, I compromised, and I stood up as well. Very sorry, but I didn't want to give the game away before it was too early. And I could just see over the heads of the people a large cross coming up very slowly. And I knew that the main procession had started. And I said, "Now, Lord, we've got to do something. I feel that I've got to say something. I'm near the aisle, and I've got a glorious opportunity. Now help me, Lord." And they were playing away on the organ, you know, full blast. And I said, "I'll never make myself heard over this fellow. Lord, may he choose something nice and gentle." And sure enough, it wasn't long till he changed to a nice, soft piece of music. And I didn't know what the acoustics were like in St. Paul's. I heard about the Whispering Gallery, but I didn't know whether I could be heard or whether I couldn't. And so I sort of coughed a few times to see what it was like. And you couldn't have heard the cough behind my hand. Such a big place. And I says, well, now, Lord, I'm going to have power from heaven to really shout tonight. So I allowed the procession to get nearer and nearer to me until it was only about half the length of this hall away from me. And then while everybody was facing the back and facing the oncoming procession, I stepped out and turned my back upon the procession and faced the people who were looking down the great cathedral. And I raised my Bible and I said, Protestants of Great Britain, tonight you are being betrayed into the hands of the people Antichrist. Turn to God, turn to His Word, be not betrayed. Well, my, what a commotion started. What a commotion. It was a real gas, but nearly blew out all the candles. And I'm telling you, there's not many candles there to take a real gasp to blow them out. And immediately about four or five stewards jumped on me. One poor fellow, I don't know, he must have... I don't know how he'd become a steward, but he did anyway. He'd need a course in Ulster. He come to me and he grabbed my elbow very gently and he said, come this way, sir. I don't know whether he was a part-time waiter and he thought I was in for a feed or what, I don't know. But I wasn't going anywhere until I was carried out. While I didn't resist, I wasn't certainly going to walk away. Well, four other boys, they came and they all grabbed me and then they had a bit of a dispute. There was nothing but unity in which way they wanted me to go. And my body being one unit, well, it fought back. And they had to decide that they'd take me the one way. And they decided that they'd bring me down the main aisle right into the procession. And maybe that's where the press got the idea that I had held my arms out and said, go back, you hypocrite. I can't remember saying it, but sure, if I did say it, it's the truth. It's the truth. Well, they realized their mistake. Foster and Ramsey couldn't get past in the one aisle. It wasn't broad enough. So they turned round and they brought me through a little section into the side, one of the side aisles, and they marched me down. Well, they were screwing the arms off me by this time, although I didn't notice because I was still bellowing away. England turned to God. And they marched me down the side aisle, and one of the boys who was at my elbow, he was right, let's run him off the steps and throw him down. There's about three flights of steps. Stone steps were about 20 steps each, and I could see a real orbit here, and I was going to have anything but a soft landing. You know, the Reverend Bert Cook says to me, brother, you go in there and you'll come out in bits. The head will come out, bumpity, bumpity, bumpity. Then the rest of you will come out after. And I says, Lord, that vision that Cook had must have been from you, for here it's all taken clear. But there was one of these men, was a plainclothes policeman, and he says, no, I'll take him. So I was marched off out of the cathedral, into a police van, and into the police station. There I was charged with indecent behavior. I didn't take my shirt off or anything like that. That's only an old English word which means unseemly behavior in a cathedral, as well as being charged with riotous behavior. We were put into a cell that took the shoes off me. I don't know why. He says, you might have a razor blade, because I can not see that I don't use such things as razor blades. So they took the shoes off me, and I lay up, and I must say the couch there is a lot more comfortable than the couch they put me on in 66 down in the police headquarters. It's much more comfortable. I even had a wee sleep. Well, these fellows were getting pelted with eggs and all the rest of it. I was lying back having a sleep. Oh, I prefer protesting my way. I was just noticing Dr. Paisley's collar today. It's still covered with eggs. Well, I heard later from the rest of the brethren the rest of the story. And, for instance, our brother John Long, I think he's here tonight. He got up and he made his protest. And he shouted out and told the people in no uncertain manner what was happening and where they were going, and immediately he was grabbed by two stewards and they marched him out down the church. And one of these men was a large chappie, and he said to the other one, I'll see him out. It's all right, I'll take him the rest of the way. So he marched out with John beside him. They got him to the door and he looked around and he says, go on back in again, I'm on your side. he managed to work this dodge three or four times until he got heaved out himself. Now, one of our brethren, they got right up to the old archbishop and poked him right in the stomach and told him to his face that you are a traitor. I don't want to give his name lest he ends up in London too in the court and not say anything. But that's what happened. Told him you're a traitor to your ordination vows unto God. And my, I'm sure you've seen the good archbishop close up. You think two butterflies had landed on his forehead and they're fluttering away. It looked like a rose garden in spring when our brother poked them. My, there was plenty of activity then. Really shaky. The old cardinal, the old papist cardinal, he didn't get speaking for a long, long time. Didn't get having his little say. The Lord really blessed us, you know, in our protest. God stood with us. God was near. The next day, we appeared in going to send the fire. And God is going to purge the land from ecumenism and from apostasy. God hastened that day, for the sooner we have the purging, the sooner we'll have revival. Amen. God bless.